This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I mean, you got the NBA Cup going on, Bebe. You got 13-0 versus a team that is not 13-0, but can they turn it into 14-0? To talk all things Cavaliers of Cleveland.com, welcome on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Chris Fedor. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Which part of this, Chris, do you think that the Bulls want to spoil more? The NBA Cup game one of that, or the fact that the Cavs are 13-0?
Yeah, I think it's the fact that the Cavs are 13-0. And I think that's something that they're going to have to deal with here during this entire streak. And it can be mentally and physically exhausting to play these November games and get the best shot from the opposing team. It's just a different kind of grind that the Cavs are trying to navigate here because everybody is going to be gunning for them, Chicago included. Everybody wants to be the team that ends the Cavs streak and hands the Cavs their first loss.
Everyone, really?
It sounds like teams around the NBA really want to be the team that breaks the streak.
Good luck being on the side of a Nick Wilson argument, okay? That's the side you're currently living on.
The side of truth.
I mean, what do you disagree with here, Jonathan? These guys are competitors, ultra-competitive, and they want to spoil somebody's opportunity at history. Of course they do.
I don't know. I don't know that Kobe White woke up today and was like, yeah, my chance to spoil the Cavs 13-0 run. Like, I just don't think he looked at it that way.
Is it the first thing that he thinks about when he wakes up? No. But when they start playing the game, that's more meaningful than just another win in November for a team like Chicago.
Oh, whoa, sure. This is an NBA Cup win here, Chris. Come on.
No,
let's put some respect on the cup.
Not everybody has aspirations for the NBA Cup. Not everybody's aspirations are the same.
So with the NBA Cup thing, obviously this is year two. We've already got 15 think pieces on how to fix or save the NBA Cup. I don't want to say how much emphasis, but how much does this really matter to any of these players to this point?
Well, I think it depends. The first year that they had the NBA Cup, there was more of a point of emphasis on it, and guys took it more seriously. And I think part of the reason for that is LeBron led the charge in that. He was somebody who was very, very vocal, and he was public about how much he wanted to win the first NBA Cup because you have an opportunity to be the first at something. I don't know what it's going to continue to be as we move forward, but I can tell you, you know, being involved with these particular games, it has given a little bit more magnitude to some of these games in November. It has given a little bit more competition to some of these games in November. And you can feel when you're in an arena and it's an NBA Cup game and there are just different stakes, you can feel a different level of intensity. It's certainly not playoff level basketball. That can't be replicated, and it's not going to be replicated by the NBA Cup. But there is a different level of passion. There's a different level of competition. There's a different level of strategy from coaches. There's a different level of intensity when it comes to NBA Cup games. So I do think it is meaningful for these guys, and I do think they treat it as meaningful.
Yesterday, Chris, we got in a discussion about Kobe Altman, and I said the inaction this offseason was action to me. I felt like in running it back with the core four, when everyone was telling you, break up the two guards, break up the two bigs, do something, that alone, him staying with the course, the thing that he built, that deserved credit. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. And I think people have to understand, anybody that wanted them to make a significant shakeup to the roster, they would have been trading players at below market value. So it's really easy to sit there and say, well, you know, trade Darius, trade Jared Allen. Okay, what were the offers that the Cavs were getting? And I think at the end of the day, there was nothing that they received in terms of an offer that made enough sense for them to shake up the roster drastically. And I think it's easier for an organization to just push a panic button and say, all right, we're going to start sending away some of this talent and make those changes. I think what they did were they were calm. They took an honest assessment of the roster, and they said everything this offseason about basically in blinking lights, we had a coaching problem last year. Like, we believe that a new coach with a new system, with a new offense, is going to get more out of Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell together, is going to find a way to make the Jared Allen, Evan Mobley thing work better, is going to find a way to get the most out of this talent that we assembled here. And I think anytime you have guys that are young, talented, and under contract, you have to be really, really careful about pushing that button of we're just going to break it up, because there's no guarantee that the talent that you're going to get back, either in a trade or in a draft pick in the future, is going to be as good, as effective, and as successful as the talent that you already had in place. And I don't think they had to act out of desperation, given the fact that they made back-to-back playoff appearances and they did advance to the Eastern Conference semifinals. So I think they took the right approach that they needed to, and I think it's validated by this start that they've had.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com and the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Darius Garland's been pretty good this year. Not sure if I'm breaking any headlines here. Is this level of Darius Garland here to stay?
Well, I think anytime you have a guy who has a specific career arc, and then there's this outlier season that doesn't make a lot of sense, you have to start asking yourself, okay, like, what happened there? What are the reasons behind it? And the thing that I continued to say this offseason, guys, was there were logical explanations for Darius not performing to the level that he believed he was capable of, that the Cavs believed he was capable of, and that the Cavs were, quite frankly, paying him. And it's because he was dealing with a whole bunch of stuff, both on and off the court. So that, to me, said that last year was an outlier for Darius. And I think the real question was, okay, like, he was going to be better because he wasn't dealing with a fractured jaw, because he wasn't dealing with the death of his grandma, because he was more joyful when he returned to camp. So he was going to be better, but how much better was he going to be? And this has been all-star level Darius Garland, the guy who was the face of the franchise before Donovan Mitchell arrived, the guy who was playing at an all-star level and was one of the best young point guards in the NBA before Donovan arrived. So to get him back to this level, that is a significant thing for the Cavs. Because, again, I think there were logical reasons to explain last year, but the question was, like, how much better was he going to be? And how much of an impact was that going to make on the Cavs moving forward? When Darius plays like an all-star and it takes pressure off of Donovan offensively and he doesn't have to do as much, and Darius is competing his butt off on the defensive end of the floor, it just changes the complexion of this franchise. Like, the two big pinch points for this organization coming into this year were Darius Garland and Evan Mobley. And both those guys have taken the leap that the Cavs needed them to take to change the trajectory of this organization and to change their ceiling for this particular season.
Donovan's credited Pilates, which I think is interesting. He's also mentioned how he is not 22. He's closer to 34 than he is 22. And he's got all these little, like, there's an awareness with his body, Chris. Did you see this previously with him? And obviously that's played into his minutes as well. He seems like he's playing fantastic basketball right now.
I just think there is a step that Donovan has taken from a maturity standpoint and a leadership standpoint. And, you know, when he was assessing himself this past off season in terms of what's my next step, he wasn't looking for where my next step was. Like, do I need to go to Brooklyn? Do I need to go to New York? Do I need to go to Miami? Do I need to go to Los Angeles? Like, he believed going back to January that this is where he needed to be. This was the best place for him, and this is where he was going to be. So if he was committed to that, he started asking himself a question of, okay, what's my next step as a player? And I think what Donovan has done, Donovan has taken a step back so that other guys can step forward. And I think that takes maturity. I think that takes a winning attitude. And I think it takes a level of selflessness that you need from your leader. Going into the game the other night against Philadelphia, Donovan Mitchell was third on the team in touches. Third. It's Donovan Mitchell. He's one of the best players in the NBA. He's an MVP candidate. But he knows the importance of Darius Garland. He knows the importance of Evan Mobley. And he's trying to elevate those guys. He's trying to empower those guys. And sometimes that means take a step back from a usage standpoint. Sometimes that means take a step back from a shot standpoint. Sometimes that means focusing more on defense or rebounding or getting other teammates involved by passing the ball. It doesn't mean that he's not capable of scoring 30. He can, and he's going to have those nights. He had it the other night against Chicago, and he put his imprint in the game from a scoring standpoint late against Philadelphia. Like, he's always going to be capable of those kinds of things. But he understands for him to win at the highest level, and that's ultimately all he cares about at this point in his career. He needs to empower his teammates. He needs to elevate his teammates. He needs other guys to help him get to the conference finals, the NBA finals. And he has taken a step back. He has taken on a different role within this offense so that the team can be better for it. And I think he deserves a ton of credit for that.
Chris, the last three games, the Cavaliers are 10th and 11th in offensive and defensive efficiency, whereas the first 10 games, you saw them, they were first in offense, historically first in offense. I think it was something like fifth or sixth defensively. I know three games is a small sample size, but so is 13. Is this a sign that the Cavs just aren't playing their best basketball? And if so, what should we make of that?
Well, I think a couple of things have happened. Number one, Jared Allen is dealing with a little bit of an issue health-wise. Sam Merrill has been out, and he hasn't been as effective because he's been dealing with a sore ankle. They're doing all of this, by the way, without the guy who was supposed to be the fifth starter in Max Strus. But I think they're mentally exhausted. I think they're physically exhausted. And they're about to play their 14th game in 25 nights. That is unheard of in the NBA. And I think it has taken a toll on them. I also think, like, even the lesser opponents that they're playing against, they want to beat them. I'm sorry, Jonathan, but they do. They're playing to a different kind of level when they see the Cavs on the schedule. They have become the hunted, and they're getting other teams' best shots. And the level of intensity in some of these games, the level of desire in some of these games is higher than what it normally would be for mid-November. It just is when you see the Cavs on the schedule. So I think all of those things combined with the fact that, you know, Evan has kind of taken a step back in terms of the offense. They need to continue to be focused on keeping him involved. I think more people have an understanding of what the Cavs want to do on the offensive end. Like, early on in the season, it was very, very different, and I think it caught teams off guard. But now I think teams are starting to adjust and starting to have a better understanding of some of these things that the Cavs want to do at both ends of the floor. There's more film on a lot of these guys and some of the sets that they're running. So I think all of that combined points to what you've seen. And I also think, you know, when you start as great as the Cavs did at both ends of the floor, I think natural regression was going to happen at some point. Even though I think a lot of people believed coming into this year that they were a really good basketball team and they probably could be a contender in the Eastern Conference, nobody saw this. Nobody saw them being like Boston of last year or the dynastic Golden State Warriors of 4 years straight where they were going to the NBA Finals. They were just like throttling teams. So I think there was some natural regression that was going to kick in because, if we're being honest, they were playing over their heads at the beginning of the year.
Well, Chris, there's a reason why I only go to Cleveland.com and your coverage when I want to hear about Cavs stuff. But I did find my way over to a national publication. David Aldridge has been around the NBA for a long time, as you know. He's got a new Cavs criticism. I had a big article today about whether or not the Cavs are too nice. Do you feel like the Cavs are too nice?
I don't. He was actually asking players in the locker room the other night following the game against the 76ers about, like, who is the meanest player on the roster, who is the biggest a-hole on this roster, and a lot of the guys were having fun responding to that.
Yeah, Garland said Max Strus.
Isaac Okoro wanted more votes than what he got. So, you know, I think there was a reputation that the Cavs had to shake. I do. I think coming into this year, they were looked at as not the toughest team, not the most physical team, which was kind of strange because they were such a good defensive team and they were top 10 in defense for three straight years under J.B. Bickerstaff. But even with that, like, they weren't viewed as bullies. They were viewed as a team that we could physically overmatch. They were viewed as a team that wasn't the toughest team, that we could get under the skin of and things like that. So I do think coming into this year, they did have that type of reputation from other people around the league. But I never bought into that fully. I didn't. And I think they have enough tough guys. I think they have enough competitive guys. I think they have enough tough-minded mentally guys. And I just don't fully buy into that. And I think, you know, part of what you have to do as an NBA player is you have to be true to yourself. Like, Evan Mobley's not going to be Kevin Garnett in terms of his passion and his fire. That's just not who he is, right? But it still doesn't mean that he can't be an elite player or one of the best players in the NBA. So I think at this point, when you're 13-0, people are going to look for different things to criticize and different things that are going to prevent you from reaching your goals or something like that. If the Cavs don't win a championship, I don't think near the top of my list is going to be they're too nice of guys or something like that.
Will the Cavs be playing for the NBA Cup? Tell us now. I need the prediction.
Yo, so, like, they there is an opportunity here.
I'm excited.
So I could be in Vegas in December, of course. Who's not going to be excited about that? Boston the other night losing against Atlanta, like, creates a pathway for the Cavs to get to Vegas and, you know, be really, really competitive when it comes to this NBA Cup thing. Because when the groups were released and whatnot, everybody's like, well, Boston's going to win that group. But they've already got one loss, and it was against Atlanta. So I think the opportunity is there for the Cavs because, you know, Boston slipped up against Atlanta. And one loss in Cup play, based on what we've seen in the past with some of these tiebreakers in place and stuff like that. Yeah, I think the Cavs can definitely be competitive in this thing, and I think they're going to have a shot. Look, if there's one thing that we have seen from the Cavs, it's that I don't think this 13-0, like, I don't think they're as good as what they've shown. 13-0 with the best point differential in the entire NBA, or at least in the Eastern Conference, I should say. But, like, this is a really good basketball team, and what has happened here in the early going, it's not a mirage, and it's not a fluke. I don't know that they're Boston. I don't think they're on the same level as Boston, but they're pretty damn good, and that's a really, really good place to be. So whether it's the NBA Cup or getting to the conference finals, I think those are real possibilities for this team because I think they have proven to be one of the best teams in the entire league.
I got to say, you almost got cup dated there because that was a hell of a cup date, but we don't have time to play the open, so thank you for your analysis. Enjoy the rest of the winning streak, which I expect to be 25 games.
Wow. Do you realize the teams that they have to beat to get to 25? Have you looked ahead to the schedule like I have? They got to beat Boston twice.
Yep, nope.
They've got to beat the Denver Nuggets.
Not doing that.
And they've got to go to Miami.
Don't care.
Go to Miami where they never win. And beat the Heat for number 25.
Yeah,
think about that.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to do it. That's all I heard. Chris, we got to run, buddy.
Right, exactly. See you later.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, and the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We got to respond to his cup date and more next on 92.3 The Fan. We do have Browns and Saints on Sunday to talk about that game. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Welcome on former Browns offensive lineman Jason Pinkston. Jason, I just want to say thank you for not making a business decision today and skipping today's call.
Happy Friday, fellas. I'm always going to be here.
Well, that's what we like to hear. So it sure seems like the team just wanted to paint the picture that Jed Wills didn't know what that phrase meant. Are you buying what they're selling, Frendo?
I'm not buying. Take it back. Get your receipt. Take it in. I'm not buying it. Everyone in America knows what that means. Business decision. He did not want to play. That's how I took it. I mean, when I saw that, I was literally like, I cannot believe you would put that out there, especially for a former offensive lineman like myself. You know, I took pride, and I know a lot of guys around the league take pride in, no matter what, you do everything possible to play the game. And I shared this on Twitter. My coach told me, George Warhop, my offensive line coach, told me, my rookie year going into Cincinnati, I hurt my knee on a Friday. He looks at me dead in my eyes and says, listen, are you hurt or are you injured? He goes, because if I have to put somebody else in that game on Sunday and they play well, you may never see the field again. And I went home and I said, you know, I'm playing this game no matter what. So it's embarrassing. It just it seems like, you know, to me, he is checked out. He has been checked out for a while now, and I think it's you know, this off season, I think he will not be back with us.
Jason, let's get to the game at hand. Is this an odd?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Addition for Jameis to possibly be the quarterback next year even?
You know, I don't think, you know, and I've said this, I think I said this last week, I don't think he will be the quarterback next year. I mean, I think when you're paying a guy the type of money that you're paying Deshaun Watson, he's going to be your quarterback no matter what, unless some hard changes are made and we're ready to bite the bullet on a substantial cap hit.
So with the rest of this year, if Jameis is just biding time, I mean, the Browns have basically said, yeah, if he just cuts down on the turnovers, you know, we think he can be a really good quarterback, which is like me saying, if I just stop being a fat ass, I might be able to run a mile. Like, at some point, the cholesterol is what the cholesterol is. So I'll ask you, do you think with 8 games left, do you think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion at some point we're seeing DTR again and or Bailey Zappe?
You know, I do like Jameis. I think he does well, but I think that he has played enough in this league for Tampa and for us that we know who he is. Me personally, I would prefer to take a good, nice look at DTR and see what he offers us and see if he could be somebody, you know, for this franchise and for this team in the future.
Are you hoping the Browns win?
I'm praying for a win, man. I really am. I, I'm I'm down here in Yinzo Nation, and it's just they've not been kind to me this year. I'm the brunt of all jokes, so I am praying that we do get a win, so I could at least get a breather of the laughter and the jokes and the antics and the group chat. So I would appreciate a win. Yes.
I mean, I think you just have to counter. You have a college education. You don't have inbreeding in your bloodline. I think that would be something that I would counter to those Yinzers.
You know, see, if they were West Virginia fans, that one hits pretty hard. You know, they always turn back and say, well, oh, we got six rings and we're going for seven. And, you know, it's just the same old BS with these guys down here. I'm hoping the Ravens can come into town and take care of business this week. And Lamar gets over the hump and finally gets, wins the game in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. By the way, okay, so the Browns are 2-7. They got 8 games to go. And when it comes to organizational decisions, head coach, quarterback, GM, all that, what do you think the difference between 0-8 and 4-4 over the last 8 games of the season is for this Browns team?
You know what? I really don't think it makes a difference. I think that, I mean, obviously 0-8 is terrible, and 4-4 maybe gives you some hope that there may be some light at the end of the tunnel. But at the end of the day, this was a playoff team last year that wasn't far away from doing some special things. And, you know, obviously we laid an egg versus Houston last year, but I still think that it's highly unacceptable to what happened this year. And I think there's some changes are going to be made. I'm not sure if it's going to be head coach or offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, who's going to pay the ultimate price. But I think there's going to be some changes made because, I mean, we are so close to being very competitive year in and year out. And for us to take this large of a step back from this year is unexcusable.
So is it safe to say you believe then there's nothing that this front office, head coach, whoever you want to blame for the first little stretch of the season, there's nothing they can do to get out of your doghouse?
You know what? I would say they're not in a doghouse with me, right? So they have to truly look at themselves in the mirror and know that they played a big part in this. Ultimately, the buck stops with Mr. Haslam. He makes the decisions. And, you know, the decision was made that, you know, our quarterback was who our quarterback was, and we weren't going any other direction. And unfortunately that he got hurt. And if he didn't get hurt, I think that he would still be the starter to this day, regardless of what was happening because of the money situation. And I think that we have to take a hard look and say, hey, you know, this is on us. And, you know, we made a mistake. And I don't think that would come out publicly. But I also think that kind of, You know, it makes it hard because, you know, now we're looking at Coach Stefanski here. Like, you know, to me, his hands were tied. You know, he, regardless of what he maybe wanted to do, if he wanted to do something, that he was not going to be able to make that decision without, you know, the owner stepping in to say, hey, you know, this is what I'm doing and this is what we want. And ultimately, you know, even Andrew Bear, you can throw him in that category too. Like, you know, when the owner says this is what he wants, you're going to do what he wants. He's signing off on your checks and he's paying your bills, so you're going to do exactly what they want you to do. And you know, I don't see how that they could pass the buck onto those guys and fire them, which makes this a very tricky situation for us because they obviously play a big part in it. So I'm very interested to see what happens at the end of the year. You know, Nick, me and Nick, we were texting earlier this year. I said, you know, they brought Mike Vrabel in, and I thought that maybe if things went bad, that maybe he would be the guy that would replace Stefanski if anything was, you know, if anything were to change, and that didn't happen. So I'm interested to see what happens this year. You know, I really do like those guys. I think they've done a good job thus far up into this season, but, you know, who knows?
Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You don't know this about me, Pink, but I'm a streaker. All right, so I enjoy
and a cupper.
And I enjoy a good streak in the NBA. The Cavs are 13-0. That is the best streak in franchise history to start a season. Are you? Please tell me you're paying attention to this.
I am paying attention to it, man. It is awesome to see that. I took my daughter to the Bucks game in Cleveland the day after the the Browns game. It was awesome. Those guys are playing at a phenomenal level.
So you're a streaker too.
Continue it. I am. I do follow the streaks. I'm hoping that they beat out Golden State's, their 23 streak that they had going. Funny thing is, when you said streaker, I'm like, wait, is he talking about like streaker, like run on the field, run on the court streaker? Because I don't have a good track record with streakers in that regard.
Did you ever take one out or something? You're a big human.
You know what? I did not. But when LeBron was, I was at a Cavs game back when I was in Cleveland. A kid by the name of James Blair, he ran onto the court when the Heat came back to Cleveland. I think it was Braun's first game back. The Cavs were up like 30 at half. Miami comes back to win it. This kid, James, runs onto the court, and I end up paying his bail to get him out of jail. They took him to jail. I paid his bail. And let's just say the Cavs were not very happy with me at all.
Wait, you didn't know this guy at all?
You know what? He followed me on Twitter. He always tweet me back and forth, and we talk. Dude, he ran on. He is like the biggest LeBron James fan I've ever met in my life. So he ran on the court, and he had a sign: "LeBron, please come home." LeBron puts his arm around him, kind of hugs him, and then walks him off to the court. Security grabs him up. I tweet out like, "What is that kid? Who's that kid's family, parents? I'm gonna bail that kid out of jail. I bail him out of jail." And let's just say Rhett Weems with the Cavs was not very happy with me.
Wow, I didn't know that was you that bailed him out. I feel like we just uncovered a part of Cleveland history, Pink. Well, thank you.
I bailed him out of jail. I don't say it was a mistake because I really liked the kid. I bailed him out of jail, and let's just say Rhett has not talked to me since.
Look at that.
And you probably want the money back, if we're being honest, right?
No, he was a good kid. He meant well. He wasn't a jerk. He was really a big LeBron fan. I think LeBron actually did something with him after the fact. And you know what? LeBron came home after, and the Cavs won a championship. So, Rhett, you should thank me. I appreciate it. That I understand the reason why you don't talk to me anymore, but it was all for good reason. LeBron came home. The Cavs won a chip.
Jason, a friend of streakers everywhere. Jason, appreciate you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you, guys. Go Browns. Hopefully we get one this weekend, man. We need one. But, we got the Cavs rolling right now, and hope they can keep things hot and keep it moving.
Let's keep it hot, keep it moving, just like us streakers like it. Be good, buddy.
All right, buddy. Have a good one. Thank you, guys.
Jason Pinkston on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.